Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look out! His only films to be buried with. Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, an arena gig, and I love films. As Babe Ruth once said, it's hard to beat a person who never gives up. Mad God took 30 years to make. Do you hear that? It took 30 years and he still finished it. The crazy bastard still finished it. You're right, Babe Ruth. Thank you. Every week I invite a special guest over. I tell them they've died. Then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. Previous guests include Jameela Jamil, Sharon Stone, Mark Frost, and even Cled Planbull. But this week, it's the brilliant comedian Sikisa. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you'll get 20 minutes of extra chat with Sikisa. You get a secret, you get the episode uncut, ad-free, and there's a video. You get openings and closings. You get all sorts of stuff. Check it out over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. So Sikisa is a stand-up comedian who is currently, as you listen to this, performing her debut show at the Edinburgh Festival, which has been getting incredible reviews. She is a comedian who came out the gates smashing it. She's on TV. You see her in all sorts of stuff. She's fucking brilliant. I loved hanging out with her. We recorded this over Zoom a couple of weeks ago. She was amazing, and I really think you're going to love this one. So that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 210 of Films to be Buried With. Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is me, Brett Goldstein, and I'm joined today by an award nominee, an award nominee, an award nominee, a three-time award nominee, and a 25,000-time award winner, a TV star, a writer, a podcaster, a person, a actor, a hero, a legend, a 1,200th time award nominee and Leicester Comedy Festival's finest comedian that was ever born, and also Edinburgh, about to be Edinburgh's highest paid comedian on the fridge. Please welcome to the show. It's the brilliant, it's the amazing, I can't believe she's here. Everyone go crazy. It's Sikisa!
That was probably the most amazing intro I have ever had. I would like that for all my shows.
you can save it. I would play that as your intro coming onto the stage.
Yeah.
Sikisa, let's tell the truth, right? We've never met. I've been a fan of yours. I've seen your stand-up on TV. However, last night we had two gigs together, but we couldn't see each other because you were opening one and I was closing the other, or whatever that means. So we kept swapping past each other. I didn't even see you. Literally, how were the gigs?
Yeah, we literally just went, woo! It was, they were lovely gigs. One was very sweaty.
Yeah, but my God.
It's always a lovely show at Always Be Comedy. But it was great shows.
Great shows. Two smashes.
How was it for you?
That Always Be Comedy, which is the best gig in London always, it was a new venue and it was a sauna. But then I thought, for you, I was like, oh, this is good practice for Edinburgh. That's what an Edinburgh room is like. Just watching an audience slowly melt in front of you as you get through your 20, like 10 minutes in, you're like, they look shorter than the start of this gig.
I'm just going to have fans for everyone, I think.
It's a great idea.
Just get everyone a fan and just be like, just put it here.
Great idea.
The fight.
So is this you're about to go to Edinburgh, right? Should we talk about this? I'm fascinated. This is your first hour?
It's my first hour. I'm very excited, very nervous, very anxious, very all the emotions at this moment in time. And I am gearing up. We're gearing up for the month. And it's going to be an experience. That is the word we're going with.
For sure. What time and where for the listener who may come and see you? Where do they want
to? It'll be 8:25 at the Pleasance Below. It's called Life of the Party because it's going to be a party.
Yeah. Why isn't it called fucking primetime superstar?
No, there's a lot of competition out at the moment. Like everyone's doing a show. So
you're the only one I've heard of going up there. What is have you done Edinburgh before in smaller bills, mixed bills and whatnot?
Yeah, so I went up and did like a split show. Okay. I ran my own compilation show for 2 weeks. And then in 2017, I was in the BBC New Comedy Award final up there. But I have never done the full run.
Right.
And if you want to give me any tips, but I think it's going to be an experience is the word we're going with.
Okay, here's my tip. My tip is accept that at some point you're going to lose your fucking mind. And it will probably be... The skill is how long you can hold that off for. Like, if you can make it to 2 weeks before you lose your fucking mind, you're doing really, really well. I think when I did my first hour, I was a week in, lost my mind. You will lose your mind at some point. And the only thing you can tell yourself when you lose your mind is you must try to... Maybe sometimes it's worth, like... I don't know, like watching the news or something to remind yourself that this isn't all there is. And that outside of this bubble... There are other things happening and that this isn't everything, but it will completely feel like everything and you will completely lose your mind. But it'll also be amazing and you'll have the best time ever and make sure that you enjoy all the bits around it.
I am going to be looking forward to sleep. That's probably the most important thing I'm looking forward to because I've not slept properly in like 2 months.
Not sure that's... okay, I mean... Good luck with that. Good luck with... No, that could happen. You could sleep, I suppose, somewhere.
I think it could happen.
Who are you living with?
I'm living with five other comics. One of them is also debuting called Lou Fitz. Sasha Ellen's also in the flat. Just hanging out with some nice people. The only problem with the flat is, even though it's very central, it's on the 8th floor of a building.
Yeah.
With no lift. So the thighs will be sexy, but...
Maybe you will sleep every time you get on those fucking stairs. You'll need a nap.
Yeah. And I also tell you my favourite story of you, which you won't remember.
Please.
So we have met in 2018. We did a show for Stuart Laws in Angel. And I took a selfie with all of you. It was you, Acaster, Stuart, and Dasan.
Okay.
And it basically...
Was this Stuart, Stuart Laws Has Friends gig?
Yeah. And I was wearing... I looked very hood.
Right.
And I had like a cap on my head back to front. I took a selfie. And the first thing I said when I came on stage, because I was basically penultimate act before you all, was, "Hi guys, just so you know, I'm not their drug dealer. Just so you know." And Stuart Laws was like, "That was the best thing as anyone ever represented in terms of this lineup," which was a very great show.
I didn't see you at that show. And I think I was late or early, one or the other. I have not seen you do stand-up live.
No, you didn't see me. No, you had to leave straight after your set.
That's why. That's what happened. This keeps happening. Every time you do a gig with me, I run off. I don't know why. Please don't take it personally.
It's okay.
Next time we have a gig together, I will not book another gig. I'm going to keep that whole evening.
You don't have to do that for me. If anything, I should do that for you. If you need a new PA, I will come round.
Sakisa.
Yes.
I've forgotten to tell you something. It's quite bad that I didn't tell you this in the beginning. I know you're sort of, you've got a time limit on this podcast because I've forgotten what it is you've got to do after this. What is it?
It's a preview.
Oh, you've got to do a preview. Well, you've died. You're dead.
Yeah.
So maybe don't worry about that sort of thing anymore.
Okay. I can appreciate that.
Yeah. How did you die?
I died after rescuing a cat from a roof. So I've rescued a cat from the top of a roof in a house.
Just climbed up.
Rescued this cat. Went through the attic onto the roof.
Right.
Rescued this cat. Brought it back down to its parents. Or like threw it back down to its parents, I should say. Mm. And then I unfortunately have fallen off the roof and died.
Okay, I've got a couple of follow-up questions. So the cat could have jumped. The cat could have jumped off the roof, but instead you've gone up the. So you've gone up the attic and then what? Smashed your way through the roof. Then yes. You picked up this cat and chucked it at its parents. So there's two cat parents down there, daddy cat and mummy cat. And how are they catching the cat?
Well, I say parents. I'm like owners. I should say owners.
Oh, the owners. Okay.
Owners. Imagine the two parents that like don't throw our babies.
So you're throwing the cat at the owners. They've caught the cat. The cat is safe.
Yeah.
And then how do you fall? Which way do you land?
I've tripped and fallen on a piece of brick that has not been fixed properly by a DIY man.
Okay.
And I've tripped, fallen backwards and rolled off the edge of the house.
Oh, wow.
Fallen. And smashed. So I've died, but I've died a hero.
Did you die on impact instant?
Yeah.
Is there any part of you that thinks it looked funny and were pleased as a comedian at how you rolled off the roof?
Yes. I think people were laughing as I rolled because it would have been like a proper like roly-poly kind of situation. Yeah. I think people would have enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But then once I've hit the floor, they've gone...
Right, yeah, and then they feel terrible for laughing.
Yeah, then they feel terrible for Or they've forgotten that they've laughed, because now I'm dead.
Now they're in shock. What about the people holding the owners of this cat? How do they feel? Their lives are probably ruined.
Well, now they feel honoured and, like, privileged that I saved their cat and died I gave my life for their cat's sins.
Right. What had the cat done? What sins had the cat done?
I'm assuming it was mischievous for going up on the roof.
100%.
What are you doing on the roof?
Doing on the roof? And what had that DIY man left on the roof when he hadn't fixed the brick that the cat was after? I think they were in cahoots.
Yeah, I think maybe it was a vendetta against me to obviously cohorts me onto this roof. And then for me to die. If anything, they want my life insurance, which is, I'm not going to lie, worth nothing.
I bet they're gutted. They are gutted. Yeah. The cat and the DIY man gone to claim the life insurance. It's nothing. That's... Gutted. Do you worry about death?
No, I worry about living more. That's probably...
What, as in you want it to be over sooner?
I'm like 35 years old, so we're halfway through life. Like, we're halfway there.
I mean, for the record, I think people are living longer generally these days, but okay, sure. You're saying you're going to be dead at 70, that's quite young these days.
I think that'd be quite cool.
Listen, I'm hard out at 60, I agree, but 70 is a good, it's pretty young.
I think if you go out at that age, you're like, you've had your best life. And, like, you're not going to a point where you're going to be, like, burdening people.
Yeah.
Like, you still have to, you can still party at that age. I feel like that 70 is a good age to, like, go out. No offence to the people who are older. You carry on living your best life.
No, for any listeners over 70, Sakisa is a huge fan of all your work.
Yeah, you carry on living your best life.
I wish you do well.
I wish you continue to live.
Yeah. Okay, but with your choice of dead at 70, so you're halfway through your life, and so what is your fear now?
My fear now is that how I will never learn how to swim properly.
Okay. I mean, look, Sakisa, forget the gig. Forget the gig. I'm teaching you to swim. That's insane.
Okay.
You've got 35 years to learn to swim, and it's actually quite a doable thing.
Well, I know how to swim, but I don't know how to swim properly. Like, I'm too fearful of, what's the deep end, thank you very much, the deep end of, like, the swimming pool. Also, very wary of swimming pools because things what that have happened in pools, like plasters, piss, chlorine, you know.
What about the sea then? What if we just went to the sea, forget a pool? So you're just, instead of swimming with piss, you're swimming in actual sewage.
Yeah. I'm actually more comfortable swimming in the sea than I am in a swimming pool. My problem, obviously, with the sea is that the sea seems to be never-ending. It doesn't seem to go... It has no stop point.
Yeah, so there's no deep end. It's all deep end.
No, but me and my dad, when me and my parents go back home to Barbados, my dad will always be swimming, like, the furthest out he can go. And I'm like, I can't even see you. And then at some points, I'm like, is that a whale? And I'm like, no, that's my dad. that's the levels we are at. And I'm not even trying to cuss up my dad. My dad's quite big.
You've said that from really far away, he looks like a whale, which suggests he's fucking enormous up close. couple of things we have to talk about. Well, one, look, I'll teach you to swim properly. That's fine. Don't worry about that. You've got enough time. But two, you're from my favourite place, Barbados. You were born there?
No, I was born here, but I have citizenship. So I go back and forth every single year. And I've lived there for a bit. So, yeah.
Can you just tell me everything? Because I love that. I think it's the best place I've ever been.
Oh, I'm so happy. You can come and stay in my house. Dirt bag. Yeah, there's no Wi-Fi, though. There's no Wi-Fi. It's in the country.
Good. I don't want it. I'll come stay at your house and I'll teach you to swim proper. How about that?
Okay, that's a deal. It is in the middle of the country, though. So I live in St. John, so there is nothing much there. So
this will be quite a dry swim.
If you're looking for peace and quiet and some good rum, because there is a rum hut next to my house, then we can do that. I'm all for it.
I don't know where to start. We haven't got a lot of time. What can you tell me about Barbados?
Barbados is obviously very, very small, but we are probably the most friendliest people in the world. A lot of friendly people there. We love rum.
Isn't it got the best, hasn't it statistically got the best education in the world or something like that? It's top three.
It's one of the top places that you can, like, especially in the Caribbean, be educated. They have very good schools there.
But it's better than America or something. Like, there was something I read. It is like one of the best in the whole world.
Yeah, it's better than America. So if you want to send your kids somewhere, send them to Barbados.
Yes.
You'll get a sexy tan and good education. But we are notorious for rum and Rihanna. Those are probably, and tourism, those are our three biggest exports.
You're very good at all three, to be fair.
Yeah. And obviously we have recently become, like, independent from this whole Commonwealth Queen situation.
Yeah, so that's bad for us. It's interesting that you do both, as in, you know, they sort of couldn't be more different, you know, London and Barbados. And is there any part of you that's like, I'd love to just be there or just here, or is it all great?
Like, if I had the, like, especially during the pandemic, I was still working from home. So I had no choice but to be in this country. But if I had a choice, I would really have spent my pandemic in Barbados.
I honestly thought about that. I thought, how could I just get to, when everything went in lockdown, I was like, how hard would it be to get to Barbados and I just live on the beach, just in a tent, and that would be a good way to do lockdown.
So for what they did was they gave people visas for a year to go out to Barbados if they could work from home. Obviously, it's like 5 hours difference. Yeah. So they were said, if you could work from home, we can give you a visa for a year to live in Barbados. And they actually showed a documentary on Channel 4 about it. And I was so upset. So upset that this was happening. Because I understand why it was happening. Because obviously our tourism got hit by the COVID. So they were like, well, how else can we get these people over to our country? And let's just give them a free visa. Ah, man. Yeah.
What do you think happens when you die?
I think that how you have a choice of door where you could either go left or right, and then you don't know which door goes to where. So, like, left will go to, like, our version of heaven, and then hell will be on the other side. But you don't know which door it is, and then each day they just mix it up.
You only get one shot, or every day you get to go to heaven. So every day is a fresh start. So you could spend a day in heaven, and then next morning you're faced with the doors again. You could spend a day in hell. This is the first time I've been told the truth. That is that is wild. And what happens in hell? Do you know?
I think it's a lot of like manual work. I think it's just, yeah, so it's a lot of manual work. Like
a lot of DIY. The
devil, yeah, the devil or like whoever the devil's representation is on that day. Because obviously the devil can't work 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You need a help, right. You need a holiday. So like obviously his assistant or whoever is like running that place, like a manual labor situation. I think it's, and they don't, everyone gets paid like minimum wage. I just think it's a very hard.
There is a minimum wage in hell, though. That's sort of impressive. Has it been unionized up there? <That's pretty impressive.
laughs> I mean, you have to be fair in some sort of way in heaven and hell. But heaven's obviously like the opposite. Like everything's like white and gold. Everyone's making it rain all the time. There's strippers in the corner.
Right. That is how I'd imagined it. Yeah. What? Seems that finance is a big thing in heaven and hell, which surprised me. I just sort of feel like I'm surprised capitalism, I guess, capitalism always wins in the end, doesn't it?
It's always there.
I'm surprised there's financial institutions in heaven and hell, but interesting. Well,
I mean, you've got to like eat.
Yeah.
You've got to make it rain in some way.
Well, listen, today you chose the right-hand door and you opened it. And it was heaven. You're in heaven. And you are more than welcome. Everyone's a huge fan. They saw you at Edinburgh. They loved your show. They said that was the prime time's best show. And heaven is filled with your favourite thing. What's your favourite thing?
Probably wrestling.
Okay.
I don't think I want it actually filled to be wrestling. Let's go back. So my favourite thing, chicken. Let's just fill it with chicken. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm afraid I have to go with your first answer. It is absolutely filled with wrestlers. There are wrestlers. People are body slamming you, picking you up, clotheslining you, but nothing hurts. It's all fun. It's all good fun.
It sounds sexy, if anything.
Yeah. The chairs are made of wrestlers just sort of squatting and you sit on them. And there's like ladders, people are jumping off all the time. Anyway, it's a great time. They're a delight to see you, but they want to talk about your life through film. And the first thing they ask is, what is the first film you remember seeing, Sakisa?
The first film I remember seeing is Home Alone.
Great, great.
It was because my mom wanted to let me know if I was misbehaving, this is what's going to happen.
What, you're going to be, hang on,
left alone.
Okay, it wasn't you were going to be the burglars and smashed in the face a lot. It was more we were leaving there.
Yeah, it was like, this is the consequences of what will happen if you continue to be a pain in my ass child.
What did you think of this?
I don't think I paid attention because I was still very much a pain in the ass. Because I'm the only child, so mom was very much, I'm the only child. So, like, I still get away with quite a lot of things I shouldn't be getting away with. Or, like, I have this way of, like, convincing my parents to do things for me. So I think my mom was very much like, I don't want to, like, discipline you the way that a typical West Indian parent would normally discipline you back in those days where spanking and belts were, like, a thing.
Yeah.
I think she wants to go down like, this is what the white people are doing. I would treat you like a white person. This is probably more scary.
So white people, instead of spanking, they are abandoning children and leaving them. That's really funny. Yeah. But it had no effect. Did it make you think, well, it looks quite fun. That's the problem. It's quite a mixed message. Yeah. He's having a fucking great time most of the time.
Yeah, I think he's having an awesome time in that film. And, like, obviously there's some classic moments, like the classic face. Which has become notorious from it now.
What is the film that you were the most scared of? What scared you the most? Do you like being scared?
I don't like being scared. I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't like roller coasters and stuff like that because when you get to the top, I'm like, I don't want to meet Jesus right now. I've got 35 more years of my life to continue.
I've got 35 years to learn to swim properly.
Yeah. So Candyman, I remember watching. So I used to have a TV in my room and I think I turned it on at like late at night when I was like 11 or something. And Candyman was on. And I don't remember the film.
Such a good
I've not
film.
Seen it in full. So like it's I saw one clip. You know when you turn on the TV and like one bit comes yeah. on? And there was, it was a bit where some killing was happening and I was like, no. I think I remember wet in my bed and going, no, thank you very much. And then for at least a good 2 months, I couldn't sleep with the light off. So it was, yeah, it's a bit scary.
It's so interesting, the power of these things, that you have only seen a clip of it and that has haunted your whole life. I get it, man. Candyman's a fucking great film. I mean, I dare you to watch the whole thing. It's a really good film, but clearly
I
not.
I don't know. No,
it, like it might seen... be less scary in the context of the whole film, but I'm lying to you. It is really scary.
I think as I got older, I think because all these scary movies kept coming out. So like obviously all the Jason films, Michael Myers, I've not seen any of those films. Saw, I've not seen it. I think I saw one and yeah. that was it.
Yeah.
I don't even think I like really watched Saw as well because I was just like, yeah. but I generally... find certain movies scary, like mm-hmm. it just I'm just like this is gonna scar me for a while and I don't need to be scarred. Life is already scarring. I don't need any more scars, thank you.
Yeah my mum is constantly threatening to leave me home alone. I don't need any more of this. What's the film that made you cry the most? Do you cry? Are you a crier?
I am a crier, and the annoying thing is that I'll cry at anything that is like slightly sad. So like obviously, the classic recent one, Endgame, Avengers Endgame, like that last scene, I can't watch again. Like
it's very moving. It's really moving.
I have to fast forward that bit. We can't watch that bit anymore. I can watch the whole movie. I just can't watch that bit anymore. So we have to fast forward that. But I think I cried the most at 7.
Oh, wow. Okay, fair enough.
Just when he opens up the box. Yeah. And I'm like, oh no! I remember crying quite a lot about that, which is probably the weirdest thing to have to cry about. But like, there's other
that's interesting.
Cheer jerkers that are like.
That's the first time 7 has been the answer to that. That's really interesting. I get it. What is the film that people don't like? It's not critically acclaimed, but you love it and you think everyone else is a stupid idiot.
There are so many. It's a difficult choice, I'm not going to lie. Like, my second and third options were, like, Showgirls. Is all of that. Underworld is another one.
Okay, good chat.
But the one I think is the top one is Queen of the Damned.
With Aaliyah.
Yeah, R.I.P.
R.I.P. Aaliyah. Queen of the Damned. Tell me everything.
It was, because it's obviously like, it's meant to be a prequel to Interview with the Vampire. Yes. And it was Aaliyah's last film. Mm. And it's not a good film. at all. But I actually like vampire stuff, like type films, even if they're done badly. So apart from a couple, I will watch that one.
Okay.
And I like, and obviously for it's Aaliyah's last thing, and she actually looks really good in it. The accent's a bit iffy.
What accent is she doing? Can you do an impression of it?
She's like that. And I was like, okay, Aaliyah, let's not do that. Okay. But I can't do anything because you are in heaven. So, she chose the right door. She is in heaven. But Queen of the Damned. And I don't know the guy who played the main guy. I've never seen him before.
Stuart Townsend. Is it him?
Is it him?
I think so.
Look it up.
I'm guessing Stuart Townsend. That's my guess. Stuart Townsend. Yes.
Is it Stuart? Yes. Oh, well done you.
Yes.
Well done.
This is huge.
He doesn't even look like him though when you look at pictures.
I do see
but like it's just very the film itself is very bad. As I'm sure he's looking back at it going
My question for you don't like horror, you don't like being scared, but you love a vampire. traditionally considered horror things. They're always sexy, but they are sort of classified as horrors, vampires. They're horror things. Is it because they're sexy?
I think it's because they are sexy. Like, they've got this mysterious aura about them where they're like, yeah, I'm going to bite you.
I love that if you remember, you're like Jim Carrey in the mask, always making an entrance. Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah.
Would you like to live forever and eat people?
You know what? I have thought about this before. Mm. I think it would just get a bit boring and repetitive. I think I would need like a new type of blood. Like something needs to happen to the blood. Like, you know, when you've got chicken and you've got 10 different types of chicken or 20, you can do so much with chicken. Yeah. Or just food in general, but obviously for me it's chicken. I think it's the same with blood. Like, if it's like deep fried blood or like...
Yeah. Well, you've got three types of blood, right? Type A, type O, type something else. So you've already got three.
Different?
The only one way to find out, I suppose. Why don't we do a taste test? That's a fucking Edinburgh show. We do a taste test. People in the audience have to donate blood, three different types. We blindfold you. Which is type O? I fucking love that show.
I don't know if we can like hygienically do that.
Listen, we're vampires. It don't matter. We don't need hygiene. We're going to live forever.
I also think if I was going to be a vampire, I would have to be like laid. Like I will have to like walk out during the night. Like I've got stuff to do. Like I need to go to the bank. Like stuff.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah. You need one of those 24-hour banks and stuff. Again, financial worries as someone living forever. You're absolutely right. You still got to pay your bills, haven't you? You can't just live in the castle. Mm. At some point, it's going to get repossessed if you're not. Christ, they never talk about that in the vampire films, do they? Where are they fucking keeping all? How are they keeping the fucking money going? Jesus, what a nightmare!
You've got to think about these things. Exactly. Who's cleaning the house during the day? Like, how is that? You know. Who's doing the cooking and the cleaning?
Yes. No one. Who's cooking up the type O blood? Who's making this blood pudding you were talking about? Is that dessert now? Now you're a vampire? What is the film that you used to love, but you've seen it recently and you do not love it anymore for whatever reason?
Is Transformers?
Great answer. What changed for you?
I rewatched it and I realised it's shit. Like just the acting, and like I am quite obsessed with like those kind of films generally, anything that's like fantasy / superhero kind of sci-fi kind of weird kind of sense of film. But I was properly like I remember watching that like 20 times, and every time it used to be on Sky I would watch it, and then it came on Sky the other day, I was like, okay, let's just watch. And I was like, oh, no. No.
I don't understand Transformers, and I'm not thick, but I did watch Transformers, and I was very confused the whole time. And at the end, I used to do stand-up about this, but it's genuinely a question I have, which is, at the end of Transformers, Bumblebee, who is his car, it's Shia LaBeouf's car, but he's also a robot that transforms and is his friend. And at the end of Transformers, he gets off with Megan Fox on top of his car, but his car is his mate. Has he forgotten that he's now having sex on top of his friend?
He's
is
like,
Bumblebee not going, excuse me, you're on top of me. Have you forgotten that I, like literally 5 minutes ago we were chatting and now you're just using me as a bed?
He's just doing it for the team. That's what he's like. Free show, let's just do it for the team.
But he's not been in... It's very odd. It makes no sense.
The story in general, when you watch 2, 3, and 4, and 5, you're genuinely like, how are they still able to try and bring their planet? How is that still happening?
Yeah. Haven't we dealt with this?
Like, what? How does this work out?
Yeah.
This auto spark is still happening. I thought we got rid of that. How is Megatron still alive? How is this still happening?
All good questions.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily the film itself is good, but because the experience you had around seeing the film will always make it special to you, Sakisa.
It's Love and Basketball.
Great, lovely film. But why the experience of it?
Yeah, it was basically the first film that I really like got into emotionally in terms of the story of the film, but also it was the first film in terms of like what they considered to be black cinema was like a prominent film for me to be like seeing these black characters on stage who were on stage on film that were like having a voice, that had emotions, that were not just the people in like the side who were behind the counter or like just that sassy black friend. None of that was in these films. And there was a run of these films that were happening that includes like Love Jones, The Brothers, Baby Boy Friday, where it was just like people actually telling these stories from a black person's point of view, where it was just like, we are the same. And like, we have these issues and these problems that we're just trying to overpass. And we are like, we can fall in love and we do have these problems. So it was for me quite prominent to see on a big screen, sorry. But I've always found it annoying that whenever they did show these films in the UK, they would show them 8 years after they were like premiered in America. Right. And then they would always show them at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And
I'm like it's sort of specialist. Like, look at this specialist cinema. It's mad. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
I'm like, these films can be mainstream films as well. Just like.
Those Love Jones and Love and Basketball were absolutely completely mainstream. There's nothing. Yeah.
They're great storytelling films. So, yeah.
Great answer. What is the film you most relate to, Sakisa?
I would actually say Black Panther.
I love it. Please tell me why.
Just because it tells the story of like warrior women.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for me, that's the thing that came out of that film was these warrior women who are a ride or die. And for me, that's what I've been surrounded by all my life. Is that my friends are like my ride or die, that we have this connection, that we're always there and supportive of each other. And that's why I felt Black Panther, apart from other things in the film, related to for me. It's just such a great film.
Yeah.
And I generally like connected with it in so many aspects of identity, who you are, and like being unique. Because, like, I've always tried to be molded by my family, or my mum specifically. She always wanted me to be something where I've always been, felt like I was something else. That sounds wrong.
What did she want you to be?
So my mum always wanted me to be, like, a professional person. So, like, a lawyer, doctor, which I am. Not doctor, lawyer. But she always wanted me one of those one-worded things. Right. Well, I always wanted to be something creative. I wanted to be a dancer. That's what I wanted to be.
Oh, right.
Obviously now a comedian, but like I never had the opportunities to do them because my mum wanted, I felt like I wanted to make my mum proud. It was a difficult thing for me growing up at times, but also watching this film was just like, you've got watching like Chikala having this like legacy that he had to live up to. And him having to make a decision about how he was going to rule this kingdom and how he was going to make it his own. was like another thing that I related to.
I love it.
Yeah. Love it's it. A bit is deep. Your... Sorry. It's a bit
no, deep. This is, well, what, yeah. this is what I'm here for. Is your mum happy with your stand-up?
Oh, yeah. No, she's happy now because okay. I'm not allowed on TV.
Because you're on TV. Now, yeah. So, yeah.
Once we got on TV, then she was happy.
Oh, this is what I meant when I meant a professional. I meant a professional TV star. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
What is the sexiest film you've ever seen, Sukisa? If I may.
All Intentions.
Correct.
All Intentions is Correct. A sexy film.
Yeah.
I remember watching this when I was a teenager, and I was like, oh, this is a sexy film. I fell in love with Ryan Phillippe in that film. Right. And ever since then, I've been like, Ryan Phillippe. And it's obviously like got great actors in it who obviously like started, well, like they're teenagers in the show, or like 20, wherever they are, trying to pretend to be teenagers, but they're like 25.
Like all films.
Even though it's like, yeah, even though it's not like the greatest film in the world, it is like, quite a sexy film, and obviously it's quite modern, so like there are certain bits in it where I'm like, oh, Ryan Phillippe, take off that shirt again.
Come on, mate, we've been sat here for 10 minutes with your shirt on. What are we paying for?
Exactly.
Sukisa, there's a subcategory to this question.
Okay.
Troubling boners, worrying wide-ons, a film you found arousing that you weren't sure you should. Sukisa.
It's going to sound really weird. For some weird reason, I generally found The Mummy quite arousing.
The Brendan Fraser The Mummy or the Tom Cruise The Mummy?
Oh, no, not the Tom Cruise one. No,
okay.
No, the Rachel Weisz. Yeah.
Okay. It's a fascinating answer, and I'm going to need more detail. What, you found the mummy arousing, or go on?
No, I think the idea of like, so I really like at the beginning of these films. So it's the same with Mummy One and Mummy Two. The packages at the start, right. Or the like the little start bit where they tell you about the history of the mummy,
right?
And I like the idea of like these men who are like in like little skirts, just like, I'm here to like get what I want by the means of magic and like stuff like that. Yeah. And then being like having this damsel in distress kind of moment with Brendan Fraser, I find quite sexy, even though it is him killing a mummy for the love. I think his right. was quite... The thing that actually I found quite sexy, which that's why I keep laughing, is when he's on, it's in one of the end scenes, but he's like about to like run to like save his partner. I can't remember her name in the film.
Rachel Weisz.
But I can't remember her character name. He's trying to save the partner, and she's like, I need help. And he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get this like magic sword. Ah, this is amazing. And like does some weird throwing thing. And you're like, oh, it's actually quite sexy. That's what I want to happen. Like, I want to be like tied up to like something and someone like doing that for me.
Throwing a magic sword.
Magic sword blade to kill a mummy so I can get rescued. I was like, you're going to get some good head today. That's what will happen.
That's a really lovely story. that's a great answer.
You seem confused by the answer.
No, I'm thinking it through and I'm like, it all makes sense to me. I have no follow-up questions.
No, but it's a nice, like, damsel in distress moment. I always find I think it's quite sexy.
Yeah, it's interesting you talking about that because there's been a real shift away from damsels in distress. They're frowned upon as a trope in films these days, and it's interesting.
It is true that
you like it, that you're like, bring back damsels in distress.
No, not all the time. It's just like certain like classic.
The occasional damsel in distress isn't so bad, is it?
Yeah, the occasional ones, the way you're like. But also, because also in that film, Rachel's character is also quite strong. She's quite, she's smart. She knows what she's, and she's also rescuing him, especially in the second film, which is what I like this team power they have together. Like, they are our team. And that's what I find quite great when you have those kind of films where it's not just one man saving a woman. It's like they're saving themselves for each other.
Yeah, I love it. But occasionally she can be in distress. Okay, occasionally. What is the film you could or have watched the most over and over again?
Goldfinger? Yeah, Goldfinger. I love this film because obviously it's a classic film. So this is actually the second choice. The first choice is Live and Let Die.
A fascinating answer.
Because it's a really bad film, actually.
Yes.
Like, it's not the greatest Bond film, but I love the scenery in it. I generally love the fact that how it's set. My favourite thing in this film is, like, when they're doing this New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
It's the opening scene. They do the New Orleans bit. And someone dies in a funeral. They put him down in this funeral box, this coffin. And then the music starts playing. And everyone's just there dancing. And
I'm just like, it is great.
The whole concept of it is, even like down to like the crocodiles getting thrown and Roger Moore's trying to like jump on these crocodiles, which are so like old school, like scenery is great. The big black guy with the hook, the metal hook, he's a great character and he comes back at the end. The whole, and like Jane Seymour's obviously in it, being the damsel in distress, who's like read tarots. I just like the whole thing. And I could watch it from beginning to end. It's not one of those films that I have to skip through. I can watch it from beginning to end.
Brilliant. Brilliant. What is, well, I don't like to be negative, Sakisa, do you? But let's do it quickly. What's the worst film you ever seen?
Oh, this is easy, man. This is so easy. Twilight Breaking Saga Part 1. Part 1. Twilight. Bad film.
Go on. Why? But Part 2 made up for it? You're happy with Part 2?
So Part 2 is equally as bad. Like, it's not as bad as Part 1. Like,
sins of Part 1?
Oh, it's bad acting. Like, the whole film is, like, saga. It's, like, the whole series is bad acting. And there is no chemistry with anyone. there is no chemistry. I'm like, how were you two dating? Because, like, this is...
But they were dating in real life.
Yeah.
That's why there's no chemistry on screen. That's why. I haven't seen these films, but if what you're saying is true, it is because they were dating in real life.
You need to see the film because it is so bad.
Right.
Oh, so bad. The acting, number one, there's a scene when they consummate their marriage, which is probably the most awkward scene I have ever seen in my life. And then the acting just carries on being bad, and for some reason I just really want to punch Kirsten Stewart in the face in this film.
Hey.
For some reason, I know it's aggressive, but I just really do.
She's a tremendous actor, and so is Robert Pattinson.
Since this, I'm glad they've moved on. He did very well in Batman. I'm glad he has moved on.
Okay.
I think obviously these kind of films, they have to, like, they were young, they have to, like, learn stuff or do what the director says. And the director said, do some bad acting. And that's what happened.
Often a direction I've been given, yes. Could you do some bad acting? Okay. What is, you're a comedian, you're in comedy, you're in a multi nominee. What is the film that made you laugh the most?
Twilight Breaking Saga Part 2.
That's good stuff.
It's mainly because of this baby this baby that turns up. I don't know if you've heard it about it, but like this baby's got the baby is the funniest thing in the world.
The baby grows at like a year a day or something, is that right?
Yeah.
The baby's in
like weird, like, I don't know what like technology they've used, but it just looks so every time it popped on the screen, I was dying. I was like, they thought this was a good idea. Okay, cool. Because they tried to do something similar with Transformers 2. Mm-hmm. Where they put these like two new Transformers in that was very much, you could tell, was CGI in it. But like Twilight Breaking Saga 2, oh babe, that was far too.
Babe, do you think the director said, make me a bad baby as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were like, fascinating, how can we make this baby grow faster? Let's do CGI instead of actually getting a child in every day.
Yeah. A different child. Sakisa, you have been a wonderful guest. I have loved talking with you. However, when you went up your attic, there was a cat on your roof, right? You went up through the attic. You smashed through the attic ceiling onto the roof. You climbed up onto the roof like a goddamn hero. And the owners, not the parents of the cat, but the owners of the cat, human owners, were at the bottom of the house and they were like, oh God, will the cat be all right? And you climbed up there like a superhero and you picked up the cat and you went, wee! And you chucked the cat overarm at the at the owners like it was an American football. And they caught the cat. The cat was safe. And you went, yeah! And you celebrated. And then you tripped on a brick that had been left there by the DIY man who was in cahoots with the cat trying to get your life insurance. And you spun around and the owners on the ground thought you were being funny, doing a little turn, and you tripped over backwards. You rolled off the side of the roof. And for a second, it was very funny. But then you landed, crunch, straight down. You died on impact. Your skull, your bones were crushed. Your feet crushed. Every part of you, dust inside, dust and blood, blood for blood pudding. Anyway, I was walking past with a coffin, you know what I'm like, and I see this mess on the floor, the owner screaming, the cat's run away again, the cat's run up on another roof. In a way, this whole thing was pointless. And I go, what's happened here with Sakisa? Meanwhile, DIY man and cat, they've run off to the life insurance place to see what money they can get. Turns out nothing. They got nothing out of the whole thing. Anyway, I have to scrape you off the pavement and I have to bring a digger to dig up some of you because you're so embedded in the cement. Anyway, get all of you in the coffin, but there's more than I was expecting, what with all the cement and stuff. It's absolutely rammed in there. There is only really enough room in this coffin to slide one DVD in the side with you for you to take across to the other side. And on the other side, it's movie night every night. What film are you going to show the wrestlers on movie night in heaven when it is your turn, Sakisa?
Black Panther. It will be Black Panther. Wakanda forever.
Yes.
Wakanda forever. They need to learn. Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever. Yes. Sakisa.
Wakanda forever.
Have the most wonderful Edinburgh. I hope you win all the awards, including best poster and best party atmosphere. Will you have fun?
I will have fun. I'm going to have so much of a party. You are invited to the party if you're ever going to come up. I know you're busy. But if you want to come to a party, feel free to come along and have a party.
Oh, I'd love to come to your party.
There'll be tequila.
Ooh. What do you have to tell people to look out for and to listen to? I don't know when this episode will come out. God forbid it comes out after your Edinburgh one, which I hope not, but it could do. What else should they look out for and watch for? And
I'm doing my show at Soho Theatre in September. So I'm doing a run. So please come and see it there. I think it's the 23rd to the 25th. I could be lying. It's on my Instagram page. Follow me on Instagram, Twix Comedy. My Twitter is Sakisa Comedy. Yeah, so follow me. Or I've got a website, sakisacomedy.com. Yeah.
Sakisa.
I should know that one. I made it.
You probably should know that. What a pleasure. Thank you for your time. I know you have to run off to a preview. Good luck. I hope it goes
Thank
well.
You.
Have a great day. It was lovely talking to you. Good day to you. So that was episode 210. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra 20 minutes of chat, secrets and video with Sakisa. Go to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review, but don't write a review. For God's sakes, no one wants to read that. What I want to read is about the film that means the most to you and why. I love reading that. Go and do that if you want or not. Live your life.
Thank you all so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Thanks to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to Acast for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lydon for the photography. Come join me next week for another cracking guest. Oh, it's a good one next week. Oh, you're going to love it. I hope you're all well. So that is it for now. Take care, everyone. And in the meantime, have a lovely week. And please, now more than ever, be excellent to each other.
Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.